The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. There is no greater community builder than adoption. Welcome to Your Adoption Coach with host Kelly Ellison. If you are starting an adoption or just thinking about it, or maybe someone you know is going through an adoption and you want to help, please stay tuned over the next hour as we will educate and inspire you with some real stories and information about resources that can help. Now, here is your host, Kelly Ellison.
And welcome. We are so glad that you're joining us today. You're listening to Your Adoption Coach Radio, where our goal is to inspire and educate you all about adoption. If you've been thinking about adoption, that this might be a path for you, or you know someone who is considering adoption, we'd love it if you'd share our show with them. If you'd like to send us a suggestion, we'd love hearing from you. Suggestions or ideas, you can contact me at coach@youradoptioncoachradio.com, or you can check out our archives, over 120 shows to pick from on every topic you can think of related to adoption. So you can go to adoption.net, where our show is being broadcast. We're so excited to have the show available on adoption.net now. Please do keep listening, because we have so much more to share, and we hope that you have enjoyed all of our previous shows and share the show with your friends and your neighbors. So today, our guest, Shannon Phillips. Shannon is the Orphan Hosting Program Director at Children of All Nations, Great Wall of China Adoption. And her first position with Great Wall was part of the International Adoption Matching Team, which she helped make her success in the process of matching host families with host children, and in turn matching host children with forever families. Shannon and I have worked together a little bit before, and she was telling me about this program, and I said, you know, I really want you to come on the show and tell our listeners about this, because there's so many different programs that are out there. Shannon has previously worked with children of all ages and even spent time working with children with special needs. She has a great love and passion for children abroad and enjoys knowing her daily work is making a difference in the lives of orphans every day. I bet that is really cool, Shannon. I bet you sleep well at night, or maybe not. Maybe you're thinking about these kids all the time. But welcome to the show. Thanks so much for being with us. I really want our listeners to know about this, because as you and I spoke about what you're doing and the work that you're doing with this hosting program, certainly there are lots of hosting programs that are out there, and I hope today we can kind of learn some best practices and kind of learn some things about maybe what you've learned about these types of programs and share what you're doing and kind of what you've learned about this as you've done this over the years. But first, I want to know, I've never asked you this, we've talked a lot, but I've never asked you, do you have a personal connection with adoption yourself?
Yes and no. I think it's something that I've always thought about, you know, growing up. I always wanted to adopt a child and make a difference and change a life. And I think when the opportunity came, I was working in marketing previously, and I was tired of it. I didn't like the grind of the business and that sort of thing. And when I saw the opportunity to work in adoption, it really stuck out to me. I think it was something about communicating with families on what their adoption desires are, something along the lines of that.
Oh,
I
cool.
thought, wow, how cool would that be? And now, you know, since I've joined the agency, it's just been a really great opportunity for me to dig deeper into my interest in adoption, and I love that you know, not even, I don't even have to adopt at this point. I mean, I still may, but at this point I can help so many different kids in such a unique way. So it's pretty cool.
So I gather you're living vicariously through these kids and their host families. And that is certainly, I feel like I do the same thing. You know, obviously all of our listeners know that I'm an adoptive parent myself. But many times I have folks that say, oh, you know, why don't you go do it again? And I think like, no, that's really okay. I'm going to live vicariously through my clients by all the various different families that we talk to and work with related to adoption. So you were in marketing before you went to work with Children of All Nations. And so help me to understand, there's an agency here, which is Great Wall of China, right?
Yes.
And then there's Children of All Nations. So is Children of All Nations a program of Great Wall? How does that work?
So Great Wall of China adoption has been around for 18 years now, and we started out with just China adoption. And obviously, as things have changed a lot in the course of China adoption, about 6 years ago, we branched out to other countries, and that's where Children of All Nations came in. So we work with 17 other countries. Obviously, it's up and down. Some are closed, some are open, back and forth. But that's kind of where the Children of All Nations has come from. So we, both do adoption. But that's kind of the difference between the two.
So, you know, I'm sure, that your CEO, Snow Wu, is very knowledgeable. She's been in international adoption for a long time. And as you said, 6 years ago, China went through just lots of changes. I remember that because we were bringing our daughter home. and we were one of the last families to bring home a healthy infant from China.
Okay.
So, yeah, we were one of those last families. And so what I understand from you, though, is you were working in marketing. And did you go from your marketing career right into Great Wall? Did you do that transition just like that, or was it another job?
Nope, in a matter of weeks, actually. I was running my own marketing firm. I was my own business owner and everything, working 7 days a week. But when I made that transition and speaking with Snow in my interview, we were talking about advocacy and the advocacy piece for the kids. And she was explaining to me what they do, and I remember specifically saying, you know, we have to present these kids for these families to really see them, to get to know them, to understand who they are, to help them find a family. It's all about what you do to present these children to families. And if you don't advocate for them, you know, in the best of ways, that's where it's going to get difficult to find them a family. And
right.
That's where I started to trigger, okay, hey, I can take some of my skill sets that I've used in the past and I use it towards the greater good. So.
Right. It's wonderful. What a great job. What a great fit for you also. So I think that you hit on something there that's really kind of important, and that is the changing landscape of international adoption and how international that whole landscape, not just China, but we're talking about The Hague. We're talking about just take the box and turn it on its ear and dump everything out and start over. Really, that's basically how that whole thing has been going. So it seems like that this hosting idea has really caught on. There are several programs that are out there for older children from abroad. The idea of finding them a permanent home, but finding them a permanent home through hosting. So how did this idea become popular? What was, do you kind of know what the progression was of the whole hosting idea? Have we been doing this for years?
Well, yes and no. So there's been several hosting programs with Eastern Europe they've been really popular, I think, for a while now, several years. China hosting is not something that has caught on so quickly because we had to get China on board in order to make that happen. And so it has been going on, and I think each program works differently, and each group, you know, has a different goal in mind. And actually, I think I expressed this to you in the past. When I first heard about hosting, I was very against it. I thought it was something that I thought it was cruel. You know, you're bringing a child over here. You're showing them the love of a family. You're putting them in a situation that, you know, in the way we were pitched, they may never return to that situation. So they may go back to this orphanage, and that's the end of that. They came over for an experience. And so I was really turned off by the idea. And as an agency, as we started to talk about it a little bit more and realized with every program is a little bit different, but with China and the Philippines especially, we can gear this as a host to adopt program and start giving some of these older kids a better chance at that. And I think once we shifted those gears into this isn't just hosting, this is hosting to adopt, is when I started to get on board. I was like, okay, I can see this.
And right, I can really get that, yeah.
And when I started to see it in the flesh happening, you know, some of these children who I know I've seen on the shared listing, you know, floating around out there, and all of a sudden they're here, they're with a family, their file looks really scary, but ideally what they've got going on is not as scary, and they're hanging out with a family, and a family's like, hey, I can really handle this. And then to even take it a step further and see them come home. You know, I mean, that's even greater. We had our first family from last summer come home last week, which is awesome to see. And I think for me, that's when I was, I guess, for lack of a better word, sold on the idea.
Right.
And, you know, and now I just traveled to China. I met all of the kids that are a part of our program now. So I definitely have a deeper connection, but I see the need for these older kids who, I mean, a few of the kids I walked in, when they walked in the room, I said, I've seen your face. You've been on our photo listing. Wow. You know?
Right, and right.
They're already matched with a host family and we haven't concluded matching. So.
Right. I love that. And so, you know, really, I think as you travel and you see their faces, there's one more advocate. There's one more person, Shannon, and then plus all the other people that you know. So it's kind of this multiplier effect, I think, that that you're describing to us. And I really, really love that. That's really wonderful. So we're going to take a short break. And again, we're here today with Shannon Phillips, who is the Orphan Hosting Program Director at Children of All Nations. And we're going to talk a little bit more with Shannon today about this whole concept of hosting and how these programs get started, and more importantly, about the kids and how you can participate if you feel so drawn. So a call out to our sponsor, European Adoption Consultants. EACI is celebrating over 22 years assisting families in completing international adoptions. EACI is an international child placing agency, Hague accredited, China licensed and approved to complete adoptions in many countries around the world for people living in the United States. One of the larger agencies in the United States assisting over 8,000 adoption since 1991. Their website is eaci.com. So you're listening to Kelly Ellison, your Adoption Coach Radio. Do stay with us. We'll be back for more.
Do you dream of adopting a newborn but don't know where to begin? Are you facing an unplanned pregnancy and want to learn about adoption as an option? Adoption Network Law Center can help. Adoption Network Law Center is a California law corporation providing quality adoption services to adopting parents and birth mothers. Our entire staff is dedicated to helping guide everyone in the adoption triad through the process with integrity and complete support. Call us to learn more at 877-292-4188. 877-292-4188. Adoption Network Law Center, helping build families one miracle at a time.
Considering international adoption but don't know where to begin or which agency to select? Let EAC, a nonprofit Hague-accredited agency, guide you on your adoption journey. EAC will walk with you through the country selection and paperwork processes. EAC separates itself from other agencies by providing world-class in-country staff who will allow you to focus on your adoption journey. EAC has been assisting families and children for over 20 years. Let EAC's experience work for you. EAC is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 1-866-586-5656 or visit www.eaci.com.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And we're back. You're listening to Your Adoption Coach Radio, where each week our shows, links, and resources mentioned on this week's show can be found at youradoptionfinancecoach.com. At youradoptionfinancecoach.com, you'll learn from our coaches great fundraising ideas and step-by-step plans to help you complete your dream of adoption. Our services are provided through our affiliate agencies, EACI, New Beginnings, Beacon House Adoptions, A Step Ahead, Adoption and Beyond, A Baby Step, WACAP Adoption, Spence Chapin, and Steffes and Associates. The list keeps growing. Many agencies who are jumping on board to provide our innovative tools and resources to help you bridge the financial gap. So we are back with Shannon Phillips with the Great Wall of China, Children of All Nations. Shannon is the Orphan Hosting Program Director, talking about their hosting program. Shannon, I love you describing to us, thank you, about just your own personal transformation about this, because I do think that most people kind of look at that hosting idea, right, that concept, without knowing more about it and go, ooh, that's not a very good idea. You know, they kind of just jump there, don't you think? I'm curious, though, that if you are an agency, there's no one out there who's kind of guiding the day, right, or creating, is there anyone out there creating best practices for hosting programs? When an agency decides to do a hosting program, are they kind of on their own with what country, how to create it, how to do all of that?
At this point, yes. You know, I think in the past we've worked with other organizations and we've learned from other organizations to get to where we are, but it is kind of like you're steering the ship on your own a little bit, and it can be a little bit difficult. I don't know, you know, who the front runner really is, especially because I think each country is different, so each program is going to be really unique. There's just a few China programs out there right now, so we do kind of feel that we are at the forefront of that and figuring out what's best for the program and what is the government, what are they comfortable with as well.
Right.
You know, when it comes to Eastern Europe, there's several other organizations out there, mm-hmm, that have done an incredible job to pave the way. And I think that for us as an agency, you know, we're already facilitating adoptions through some of these countries, so it's a little bit easier for us to step in. We're not completely blind. Same with the Philippines. You know, those are countries that we work with already, so it's not terribly difficult to get in. But there is a huge learning curve, and that's okay, because we're figuring it out as we go.
Right, you do. And I can imagine that there is. You guys currently do hosting programs for just China and the Philippines, or do you have other countries?
And we've just launched Ukraine as well.
The Ukraine. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I can imagine that. So I'm just trying to kind of figure out how this kind of happens. So you decide that you want to do a hosting program in a country. There's a lot of infrastructure that has to happen here, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to go back to the country where you're working and obviously, mm-hmm, where you already have an infrastructure and a relationship and begin to kind of craft that whole program. Were you part of that process?
I initially wasn't. I had just recently become the director. I worked in the matching department. Our development team kind of spearheaded any opening of new programs. And then as we executed this past year, I was involved. And as it evolved, it just kind of became the right place for me. So So
yeah. So are there some countries that are more popular than others? I kind of hate to ask that, but I think that there is. Do you find that there is kind of a trend for one country over another, or people feeling more? For example, the Ukraine just. Are they still at war? Is there still conflict going on in the right? You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
is there still conflict going on? So if I'm somebody in the United States and I'm, you know, I'm just like looking at the evening news every night, that's about as much information as I have. So unless I'm drilling down on these countries, do you find that that happens? People are like, oh, I don't want to go here. I want to go there. And that's probably a big misconception.
Well, we definitely see that, but I wouldn't say one is more popular than the other. It's just like an adoption program. Each country has its pros and cons, and each country has its advocates. So, you know, there are families that I can tell you would never dream of working with the China program, but will forever support the Ukraine program.
Right.
And I think it boils down to their loyalties more than anything. And again, each program is different. So for the Ukraine program, for instance, this summer, the children will be here for about 11 weeks versus the 5-week program with the Philippines and China. So that's either going to be really exciting for some or a big turnoff for others.
So, I
think it's really dependent on that. Again, each program has its pros and cons. So we see a lot of people really excited about each individual program.
Okay. And so how do you – tell us about the children who are participating in these programs. They are all of them in all of the countries a certain age? Does the country decide what age? These are typically older kids that are aging out. Is that right?
Typically. It's a variety. So starting with the Ukraine, they're typically over about the age of 7 to about 14, 15. Some are sibling groups. Most of the kids are fairly healthy. I hate to use that term too easily, they definitely are. And they're not all adoptable. With Ukraine, it's not a host-to-adopt program. It's a host program. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit different when you're working with the Ukraine. However, the kids there are excited to come. A lot of them have been hosted before. We're actually posting a video today on our site that is a family who's hosted in the past, and they're actually going to be rehosting this little boy. They didn't think they were going to get to rehost him, and he's available, and they're beside themselves excited. So, you know, it's a little bit different rodeo with them, and we're still learning. We're with the Philippines. We've met most of the children that participate in the program. This most recent program, we haven't met all of them. ICAB makes the final determination. They provide the list of children for us, the International Country Adoption Board. In the Philippines. Mm-hmm. They make those decisions, but they have let us visit the children in the past and meet them for the upcoming programs. And then for China, we have a little bit more freedom, which is great. We actually go as a team to several orphanages and meet several children. And because in most orphanages there's such a wide range of needs that these children have, mm-hmm. we definitely need to seek out children that can handle the trip. I think that's really the biggest criteria, because that's, you know, you're talking about 24 to 30 hours of traveling, you know, to a foreign country.
Right. Never been on a plane before.
Right, exactly. So the preparation for that, you know, going in, we need to know that that's something that child can handle. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times we look at things like mobility and cognitive, you know, are they going to be able to grasp what's happening, that sort of thing. And that's kind of where we go from. And it's really great, actually, our winter program. We heard that the orphanage took all of the children to the airport a few days before they departed and showed them what everything looked like. So it wouldn't be such an overwhelming experience the day they left. Mm-hmm. And then they took them to McDonald's and had them eat salad because that's what
that's so funny.
Eat.
And I can tell you that having been in China, as you know, that, you know, McDonald's, Kentucky Fried, those kind of chains that we have here are chains there, but they are not the same. Would you agree?
Yes, Pizza Hut is not the
no,
same.
They're absolutely totally different from what we have here. So it's uh-huh. really interesting that you're describing all of this to us. I have so many questions that I started to write down, so I want to make sure that I get to them all. So mm-hmm. first of all, is there an ICAB in all of the countries? Do
no,
all the countries have an ICAB?
No, that's Philippines.
Okay, that's the Philippines. So mm-hmm. These other countries don't necessarily have that. And then the Ukraine program that you said is a host program only. So mm-hmm. what happens? The kids go back, they're not adoptable at all?
They may be adoptable. Again, with Ukraine, it's a little bit touchy.
Okay.
There's no pre-identified adoptions with Ukraine.
Oh, okay. Sounds like mm-hmm. a political Hague kind of thing, right? Or they're mm-hmm. not—they're not a Hague country, are they?
Mm-mm. But there's no pre-identified. So.
Okay. So these kids can come over; they can participate in a hosting program, and if a family is interested in adopting that child, they can't predetermine that child for adoption. They have to instigate a program with Ukraine and hope that that works okay. out. Is that how that works?
I think you said it best. Yes.
Okay. So I want people to really understand, and that's not anything that you guys have control over. That's a Ukrainian kind of thing mm-hmm. that they have going, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Yeah,
but the
okay.
great, I mean, really the great thing is a lot of those kids, that's something that they're comfortable with. Again, uh-huh. and obviously the Ukraine program's a little bit different, but they're excited to come here. They have a different level of, I don't even know what to call it, but a lot of them keep in touch with their families and can talk to them. You know, they're on Facebook. They send Viber messages. They talk to their families. So for a lot of those kids and a lot of the families here, it's just establishing that connection.
Right.
And especially for the older kids,
right.
they can even visit after they've aged out. They just can't be adopted. And so, you know, a lot of families I know work on student visas and getting the kids over here and just being that positive influence in their life. You know, where with other countries, you don't necessarily have the opportunity to communicate and make that connection,
right.
Where a lot of these kids do. So
there's
a little bit difference there. And obviously, as we're figuring our way through that, we'll figure out some of the ins and outs of
well, and as
know,
a host family, you know what you're getting into before you even get into the program. So mm-hmm. we're going to take a short break. The website, by the way, is orphanhosting.com. That's orphanhosting.com if you'd like to jump on and take a look at some of the programs that Shannon is talking about. So you're listening to Kelly Ellison, your Adoption Coach Radio. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Do you dream of adopting a newborn but don't know where to begin? Are you facing an unplanned pregnancy and want to learn about adoption as an option? Adoption Network Law Center can help. Adoption Network Law Center is a California law corporation providing quality adoption services to adopting parents and birth mothers. Our entire staff is dedicated to helping guide everyone in the adoption triad through the process with integrity and complete support. Call us to learn more at 877-292-4188. 877-292-4188. Adoption Network Law Center. Helping build families one miracle at a time.
Considering international adoption but don't know where to begin or which agency to select? Let EAC, a nonprofit Hague-accredited agency, guide you on your adoption journey. EAC will walk with you through the country selection and paperwork processes. EAC separates itself from other agencies by providing world-class in-country staff who will allow you to focus on your adoption journey. EAC has been assisting families and children for over 20 years. Let EAC's experience work for you. EAC is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 1-866-586-5656 or visit www.eaci.com.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
Thanks so much for staying with us. You're listening to Your Adoption Coach Radio, who is now being broadcast on adoption.net, your resource for everything adoption. No matter where you are in the adoption constellation, adoption.net is here for you. And we are so proud to have our new home with adoption.net, where you can find listings of all of our previous shows, listen to our show, and check out some of our resources. That's adoption.net. So back with Shannon Phillips, who is the director of the Orphan Hosting Program for Children of All Nations. The website there is orphanhosting.com. That's orphanhosting.com. And we're talking about these programs. China, the Philippines, and the Ukraine are the three countries where you're currently doing hosting programs. So you mentioned the winter program. So they don't, these programs don't go year-round, do they? How often are they? How often do you run these programs?
Currently, we're running winter and summer. So typically, okay, the kids are here for anywhere from 4 to 5 weeks. Like I mentioned earlier, the Ukraine, it's a little bit longer. So mid-December to mid-January-ish. Summer is anywhere from mid-June to probably the beginning of August, somewhere in there.
Okay, okay. And so I can imagine that you spoke earlier in our first segment about this, I wrote it down, the shared list, the photo list. And if you're not familiar with adoption, which some people might be listening, they're not familiar with that. Can you describe what that is, Shannon?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is typically pertaining just to China. There is a shared listing where all of the children that have been made available for adoption through China are listed. Excuse me. That's where agencies like ourselves will go out and look for children in order to help match our families. From the shared listing, we can actually request children to be exclusive to our agency. And when they are exclusive to our agency, then we will post them on a photo listing for our agency and use that to share with families and help in hopes to find families for these kids. So, I just was going to say, when I mentioned advocacy earlier, that's where a lot of that comes in. These kids kind of float around from agency to agency as we advocate for them and advocacy groups and that sort of thing.
So the shared listing isn't just available out there on the internet. It's probably out there just only for the agencies, and then the agencies can obtain their list and make it available to families who have done an application or have initiated something with a particular agency. I don't want people to think that there's a list out there, a photo list of their kids that are available for adoption through China or any other country. There are lists out there that I have seen, but most of the time you do have to register for those, and you know, you do have to kind of make a implication that you are interested. So do you find that, you said, you know, it's really cool to see the list and then actually travel to the country and see the kids and be able to make that recognition. I can only imagine that that would be a really very deep connection that I'm sure that you feel to these kids. Do you find that there's a difference in the child's ability to find a permanent loving home if they've gone through a hosting program? You know, you would think that the answer to that question would be yes, but I think it's kind of a mixed bag, isn't it? I mean, you could be with a child that might not be the right match for you or fit for you, right? So talk to us a little bit about the child's ability to find a permanent loving family here in the United States by virtue of hosting programs.
Yeah, absolutely. I think first and foremost, when it comes to talking to families about hosting, you know, we definitely encourage families if they're looking, you know, to adopt, they're looking to adopt an older child, but they're unsure and they're scared and there's all this unknown, hosting is a great way to go. And of course, we want families that are jumping in full throttle. I'm hosting. I'm adopting this child. This is what our family's going to do. But that's not real life.
Right.
And there are some families that are so incredible that do that. And I spoke with one today and I am so excited for them. However, a lot of families get on board to host to advocate. I've had several families who just, you know, like yourself, have adopted before, but maybe this isn't the route for them, but they know lots of people and they know adoption and they know, you know, what it takes. And so they bring these children into their families and then they reach out to their network and they start looking for the right family for that child. It's really cool. One of our host families over the wintertime actually got on the local news. And they did a story about their family and this child. And, of course, I mean, we placed it, no problem. You know, we found a family. So, you know, people can go to that measure. We also have families that sign up that say they want to adopt, and then they get into the situation with their child, and they're looking at their family dynamics, and they're really looking at everything as a whole and realizing, you know what, we're a great family, but we may not be a great family for this child.
Right.
And so then they begin seeking out, you know, a potential family for this child. There's a story that'll be on our site within the next week or so about a family who went through those exact, you know, stages. They've adopted three on their own. This is not a foreign concept to them. And instead, I think they have found an even better fit for this child because he's here. Now, on a whole nother level, for some of these kids where we are advocating for them, I think, like I mentioned earlier, some of their files are really scary. They say things that are really scary, and some of it's real. I mean, there's no doubt. Some of it you need to take with a grain of salt. But ultimately, with them being here, it makes it so much more real than a photo. When a mom can talk to another mom and say, you know, this child had this interaction with my child, and this is what we did at the dinner table, and this is how this child handled a meltdown. You know, that in itself can help a child so much more in finding a family than looking at a photo on a photo listing, reading a file that may or may not be correct. You know,
right.
it makes so much of that unknown disappear, and, you know, all the more reason for families to start pursuing some of these quote-unquote harder-to-place children.
The other thing I think that is a couple of things ring true for me as I'm hearing you have this conversation with us. First of all, a lot of folks don't realize that there are a large number of disrupted adoptions. And basically what that means is adoptions that just don't work out. It happens here at home, domestic adoption. It happens internationally for international adoption, that an adoption is disrupted. And it's an issue that we don't like to talk about very much, but sometimes it doesn't work out. So, you know, the hosting program can be a nice interim, I would think, right, for a family
to
check out to see, okay, is this right for me? And I agree with you. I think that having been through the process myself, I agree with you that I think the scariness of, you know, seeing the picture. I mean, I remember the picture when I saw my daughter for the first time. I was just like, oh my goodness, you know, this is scary, right?
Mm-hmm.
She was a healthy infant. I mean, you know, it's kind of like, oh my gosh, there she is.
Mm-hmm.
And then reading the profile and reading that information can be very scary versus having that interaction, that personal interaction. So how do you go about, Shannon, recruiting these families? What is kind of your process here at home? How do you find these families?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, obviously, you know, we promote the programs on our sites. But I think ultimately at this point, and what we've seen kind of generate over each program, is that word of mouth has honestly been our biggest way to recruit families who've hosted in the past. You know, others in their community saw the experience and said, wow, I want to be a part of that. You know, we've recently uh-huh. started using the term be a part of something more. You know, this is a great opportunity for people to step up and be a part of something more.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, obviously through Facebook, through social media, through our website, things like that. We send out mm-hmm. newsletters and such. But, you know, some of the stuff that we're talking about here is a lot of times my first conversation when I'm talking to a family about
right.
what to expect. And, you know, it's not a picture perfect thing that you see in the movies, that this little child from another country comes and stays with your family and everything is perfect, because there's tough times too, you know,
mm-hmm.
and preparing a family to be ready for that and making sure that this is something that is going to be a good fit for them, you know, in the long run. But I think that answers your question.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, being able to prepare the family appropriately, and then from what I understand, one of the questions that I wanted to ask you from the last segment is, do you have staff in the country? Are they traveling with the kids? Are these kids coming over by themselves to meet a person on the ground? I mean, it sounded like they were kind of like you go and pick them out, like in China, you would go to select them. But is there someone in China from your agency that's helping them get over here?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good question. In each country, it's a little bit different. From China, it's a lot of times it's the caretakers from the orphanages. That come with them. So each
okay.
province has their own requirements and such. But so, you know, this last program was great. We had a nanny from one of our orphanage partnerships come, and she visited with, I think, four or five different families whom she'd met by, you know, and past adoption.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Families, their children. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Yeah. That would be so neat. Do they stay
yeah.
here? Do they stay
mm-hmm.
here too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually,
okay.
that's something that, you know, if a family isn't really open to hosting a child, we always need chaperone host families.
Okay.
They're all adults, obviously, that work with the children that fly over here with the kids, and then they stay here for the entire time. And they're a great connection for the kids, somebody that can talk to them in their own language if they're having a bad day, or, you know, they're a good resource for these kids, and they kind of help keep everything in line, and then they take the kids back. So
right,
no
right.
cost. It's no cost to a family to host them. Obviously, it's having an extra guest in your home for you
right.
know, 5 weeks. But for so many adoptive families, it's been a really great opportunity when you have the 9 or 10-year-old that's been, you know, been here their entire life. It's a great opportunity to bring somebody in and show them culture, because they may
oh,
not
yeah.
know a ton of English, and they cook and clean, and they've had such a wonderful time.
Mm-hmm.
We've had great stories from our chaperone host family, so that's something
that's
we can
wonderful.
Always use.
Yeah. That's a great opportunity, mm-hmm. too. Well, we need to take a break. We're going to be back with our last segment. I want to talk a little bit more about the chaperone host families and obviously more information about how a family, if they want to be a host family, can get involved. Again, I'm listening to we have with us Shannon Phillips, who is with the Orphan Hosting Program. If you want to get more information from them, you can go to orphanhosting.com. That's orphanhosting.com. You're listening to Kelly Ellison, your Adoption Coach Radio. Stay with us. We'll be back for more.
Do you dream of adopting a newborn but don't know where to begin? Are you facing an unplanned pregnancy and want to learn about adoption as an option? Adoption Network Law Center can help. Adoption Network Law Center is a California law corporation providing quality adoption services to adopting parents and birth mothers. Our entire staff is dedicated to helping guide everyone in the adoption triad through the process with integrity and complete support. Call us to learn more at 877-292-4188. 877-292-4188. Adoption Network Law Center, helping build families one miracle at a time.
Considering international adoption but don't know where to begin or which agency to select? Let EAC, a nonprofit Hague accredited agency, guide you on your adoption journey. EAC will walk with you through the country selection and paperwork processes. EAC separates itself from other agencies by providing world-class in-country staff who will allow you to focus on your adoption journey. EAC has been assisting families and children for over 20 years. Let EAC's experience work for you. EAC is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 1-866-586-5656 or visit www.eaci.com.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
Thanks so much for staying with us. A call out to our sponsor, Adoption Network Law Center, is a California law corporation providing quality adoption services to adopting parents and birth mothers. Their entire staff is dedicated to helping guide everyone in the adoption triad through the process with integrity and complete support. You can check out their services at adoptionnetwork.com. That's adoptionnetwork.com. So we're back with our final segment with Shannon Phillips, director of the Orphan Hosting Program for Children of All Nations Great Wall of China Adoption Agency. And we were talking on the break, Shannon, about the chaperone host families. So, okay, you guys are located, where are you guys located? You're in what state?
Austin, Texas.
In Texas. Okay, so these programs are available throughout the whole United States that you're hosting families or children and families?
Yes, across the country for China and the Ukraine programs. Philippines is Florida, Texas, and Georgia only.
Okay. So the question that I was asking you on the break that was sounded interesting to me is, I don't want to be, as an example, I don't want to be a host family, but I would be interested in being a chaperone host family for a nanny from China. Because, see, my daughter's from China, so wouldn't that be cool, right?
Yeah.
So, but do you have to have other families? I'm in Kansas City. So do you have to have other families in Kansas City hosting kids? I mean, don't they have to have some proximity?
Not with the China and Ukraine programs, no.
Okay.
They can be anywhere in the country.
It's
been kind of cool. Some of them have come and gone up to the East Coast and visited Harvard and Princeton and, you know, done a lot of exploring as into American culture. So.
Oh, that's wonderful. So it doesn't matter if you want to be a chaperone for a host family or if you want to be a host family, you can participate in this program. So how much does it cost for the host? I heard you say the chaperone host family obviously doesn't cost anything, but how much does it cost for the host family?
So for the host family, each program is a little bit different. For Ukraine, it's $3,050. China is $3,250, and Philippines is $3,450.
Okay.
And that in itself just covers the children's flights to get to the United States, everything that it takes to get their paperwork ready, the chaperones cost, anything to make sure that we can get them here to the United States.
Okay.
So,
do these families have to have background checks, home studies, you know, those kinds of things to, I mean, I'm sure that you do something with the families. Do they have to have home studies?
They don't have to have a home study. It's actually pretty simple. We definitely take home studies that are within 2 years old, as long as nothing's changed. But we do what we call a home safety visit, and typically a social worker will provide this. It's much, much less in-depth than a home study. It's very simple. A lot of times social workers will donate it, or it shouldn't be any more than $100. Mm-hmm. And it just vets the family and makes sure that they have a place for the child to sleep. And it's a safe environment. Of course, background checks for any parent in the home. And actually, we require background checks for anybody over the age of 14 in the home, as well as copy of driver's license, that sort of thing, and reference letters. But it's not near the pain.
Yes. And home studies really are not painful. I think a lot of people, I've done several shows on home studies, a lot of people are afraid of them. They're not really that, you know, they're not a painful process by any stretch of the imagination. But it is a process.
Right.
So let's say that a hosting family is interested in a child. So they've hosted a child. They're interested in adopting the child. Does the child stay? Do they go back?
That is the toughest part.
Oh, boy, yeah.
And that's, I think, when I was talking about why I didn't like it, the program initially. That right there in itself is the hardest part. And I think for anybody to overcome that, the child has to go back. That is pure country policy. I mean, we cannot break that whatsoever. The children do go back, but the way I look at it as more than likely, if the family is devastated and they are planning to move forward, they're already making the steps to bring that child home. And we have families that have done this before that we assign as mentors for these families to help them through that process, because it's not easy at all. I mean, there's no pretty way to put it. It's a very, very difficult process. And it has to happen. And I think in the grand scheme of things, when you look at it, you know, we've created such a greater opportunity for this child and for this child's entire life, you know, where we have to kind of get through that tough part in order to get to the better part.
So it really, I would think in this case, the child knows more about what's going to happen than the family does, meaning they're more prepared probably to go back. They know that
they are prepared.
They know they have to go back.
Mm-hmm. In fact, in China, we don't even talk about adoption. They are here on a trip. So.
So that's not even an option for them. Mm-hmm. So I know that in most of the hosting programs that I've talked to, there's great care that's taken with the child, with the language that's used at home, with all of this that we're not talking about, we're a permanent family or we're adopting or any of that. That's kind of an offline conversation, isn't it, that the family would have then?
Absolutely.
With the social,
we do everything we can to protect these children from any kind of letdown, heartbreak. You know, we definitely want to make sure that they're safe in that sense, because it could be traumatizing.
It sounds like a really wonderful program, Shannon, and I want to thank you so much for sharing this with us. And so when's the next program? What's coming up next? You've got it on your website, orphanhosting.com. When is the next hosting program happening?
So the summer program will be happening here late June. We close matching April 17th, so we're just a few days away from that. But we still have kids that are ready to be matched and waiting. And then after that, we will have our winter program. We'll start matching with that September 1st.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, thanks so much. I want to thank you for being with us today. What a great show. If you like the show, if you have a suggestion or a story that you'd like to share, you can reach me at coach@youradoptioncoachradio.com. Don't forget to check out the website, orphanhosting.com. Whether you feel like you are a hosting family, potential hosting family, or interested in the chaperone hosting, or even just volunteering and helping with a program such as this, reach out and let them know that you would be willing to help. So I hope that you will visit us on our webpage at adoption.net and learn about some of our other resources that we have available, or listen to any of our previous shows. Thanks so much for joining us today. Tune in next week at 12 o'clock Pacific, 2 o'clock Central, 3 o'clock Eastern. In the meantime, have a great week.
We hope today's program gave you some inspiration as well as information about adoption. Please tune in next Saturday at 12 noon Pacific Time and 3 p.m. Eastern Time for another edition of Your Adoption Coach on the Voice America Variety Channel. Thank you again for listening.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.